I will do anything that I can to help you. I was at a funeral this afternoon for Sister Letty's nephew, and do you remember him, Brother Israel? His name is Eric. He came for quite a while several years ago, and wow, it was unbelievable to see his mom there, brokenhearted. Letty was affected, Billy, his cousins, and he was laying there in the casket, and to think he was a young person that would be in meetings like you're in tonight, and he went out into eternity, and I don't know the whole story. I did meet his daughter about 13 years old, that her dad's been taken from her, and it's a big deal, and I understood. They're not sure of the whole story, but I heard he may have been, got into a fight, and somebody pulled a knife and stuck it right in his neck, took him out, and he was a young person, like you young guys are tonight. He sat in the church here under the power of God, and so anyway, we need to really, really think about a lot of this, because life is really, really something else. What I want to say tonight, I'm going to read some verses to you, not a lot, but just a few. And I'm going to begin to talk to you. And I'm reading from the book of Romans. This will be easy for you to remember. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, the Apostle Paul is talking about what was going to happen in the last days. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's our atmosphere. You know, taking prayer out of the schools, anti-God, just drifting away from God, even as a nation. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It just got worse and worse. It's what's happening today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, the more they learned, and it just got worse and worse. They didn't do any better. And then move on down to verse 26, where it says, for this cause, this is amazing to me, God gave them up unto vile affections. Not just affections, but vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, instead of women being with men in marriage and normal sexual relations as God intended it to be, that they went into women with women, or lesbians and lesbianism. And then verse 27, it says that, and likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, getting away from normal sexual desires, and they were burned in their lust, one toward another, homosexuality. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. It's not right. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And then, verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God is the one. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or that are not right. So, a lot of this we're seeing today, if we're amazed at it, it's because it. Because people have crossed the line, God is the one who has turned them over to get into all of this. So I'm going to talk straight to you, and it's going to be from my heart. The first thing I want to say to all of you young men that are here tonight is this. I pray that no one that's here in this room has been molested. But if you have not been molested, you need to thank the Lord. And I'm going to give you some help tonight to hopefully arm you with boldness and words and a voice. so that if you ever get in a situation that it that you could be in a position for that to happen, uncle, relatives, cousins, whatever, that you would have enough strength to not give in to that. If you have been molested tonight, I want to say that I love you and I will do anything I can to help you. But I want to tell you this, if you have been, you've got to get help. Don't just carry this thing all by yourself and let it continue to tear you up emotionally on the inside. If you think about what I'm saying tonight, and I know that some parents may be listening to this, and I know that I'm possibly opening up a big situation, but I know what I'm doing tonight, and I'm trying to help and deal with all of this, help the situation. But if you are, feel free to talk to me or Brother Orrell or Brother Sean Thaler, and or someone that you have confidence in, because if it has happened to you, I do not want you to have your life ruined because of this. There's hope for you to get victory and to get on top of this, so you won't be depressed or suicidal or feel like that God has given up on you. And this is very, very important that this take place. And the other thing that I want to say is this. If you tonight, I pray that some of these things I'm talking about, that doesn't apply to us. But if you don't have trouble with your gender, in other words, you know you're a man, a young man, you need to be proud of it, you don't need to be intimidated in this day and time with all the stuff that we're being told and what's been promoted and all of that. If you don't have trouble with that, and you might say, Brother Clark, why are you saying all of this? The reason I'm saying this is because the Bible says that we're in the day and time when seducing spirits are being pumped out into the world from hell. And they're oppressing spirits, and because of our society that is teaching crazy things, from teachers to politicians to officials that should be giving guidance to our nation and our young people, because of all these crazy things that are happening, I'm sure if I were to ask for a show of hands tonight, I would probably get some hands going up tonight that you know someone, friend or relative, that is confused about their gender. And you may have a friend or relative that feels like that they're gay or homosexual. And because this thing is everywhere. And so with all of these swirling spirits that are being pumped into the world, I want to do everything that we can possibly do as the church to provide a strong spiritual atmosphere, and also to give our young people knowledge and boldness to be able to deal with all of this. So if you're here tonight and you don't need to be embarrassed about this, if this has been a question in your mind, I want you to feel free to talk to me or one of our leaders. I would rather you talk about it instead of being so embarrassed about it that you don't want to bring it up. If you're having any kind of trouble in that area, confusion about your manhood, and all of you that are here tonight are young men, and God wants you to be proud of your gender. This is how God created you. And I don't want anything to happen that's going to cause you. If you are having a question in this area, I want you to feel free to come forth. Make an appointment. Tell somebody, I need to get with you. I need to talk to you about this. And we'll help you with it. But I want to tell you, none of you that are here, I rebuke the spirit of gender confusion. You're not a girl. You're not a girl one day and a boy the next day and all the shades in between. You're young men.
Yes, right.
And you are made. We're different than the women that are in the other room. We are made as men in the image of God. And Adam was first created by God. And so I want you to keep that in mind. And another thing I want to say to all of you, none of you tonight were born gay or born homosexual.
Yeah, right.
Nobody that's here. These thoughts are a result that are formed by the way a child is raised and maybe a bad home life, and it's what's contributing to that is the society that we're in. We're in a society that is conforming people and generations to what they're wanting to promote, and they're pushing this, and it, from the schools to everywhere we turn, it's a big deal wanting this generation to conform to these open-minded viewpoints. We don't need to go there. We don't need to be belligerent about it. We're going to love people who are caught up in this as sinners, and they're welcome to come to our church. We don't need to make fun of them. You don't need to give them a hard time. You don't need to look down upon them. We need to bring them into the church and let God fill them with the Holy Ghost and be delivered from that sin. But in the midst of all of this swirling amount of spirits that is everywhere, I don't want the young people that are here in our church, and especially you young men, to be affected by all of this. It's a real, real big deal that we're dealing with today. And, you know, as far as some of the things that contribute, and I don't have time to get into everything tonight because I'm going to keep moving, but as far as people who have gotten into perversion, it was always the result, and of those that I've been acquainted with through the years, sometimes it was just, and look, I'm throwing things out, and some parents could be offended tonight by what I'm saying or misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't have time to qualify everything that I'm going to throw out. But many times it's a result of roles that were reversed with the parents. Mom being strong-willed and taking the lead, and the dad not doing what he did. And that creates in families weird cues that you take. You need to, if you're in a home and you've got your mom and dad, thank God for it. Right. If you're in a broken home, you need to thank God for whoever is raising you, and thank God for the men of the church. And there's men in our church that will be glad to help you and give you direction in that area. But weak fathers, missing fathers, and all of this. Now I want to tell you something else. If you know somebody that's being molested, and whether it be your friend, your relative, or whoever it may be, you need to say something. Do not, out of fear and wanting, because you're going to get someone in trouble, let this slide. You are doing the right thing saving someone else. Right. You might say, well, people are going to get in trouble. Big deal. That doesn't count. That doesn't measure up to anything when it comes to someone having a messed up emotions to where they're depressed and have to deal with this the rest of their life, or go into a marriage later on and carry these same problems into a marriage. It's just not worth it. And we've got a lot of fear. I had fear. And I'll give you some examples here in just a little bit. You need to make up your mind that you're not going to do anything, even in your home, with your brothers or if you have sisters. Some things can happen in the home. I know some parents don't want their kids to spend the night in others' homes. If that's how your parents feel, you need to respect that and go with that. I have no problem with some. I understand all this. I understand that there's been some situations happen where it's been in the same home and brothers got to messing around with sex and pornographic things on the phone and all of that, and it led to bad things, or the unfortunate thing of maybe being inappropriate with a sister. You might say, this is far out. This is where we're at today. These are the things that are taking place, and we need to really make up our mind that we're not going to give in to this. I want to tell you this. If you're somewhere and somebody tries to do something to you, I give you permission as your pastor to hit them in the nose as hard as you can and scream as loud as you can and get out of there and fight. Yeah. I mean, kick, fight. Now, I will never tell you that. I'll never tell you to start a fight and all of that. But and we don't need to be into that. But in this situation, you do everything you can do to make a scene. I'm trying to give you some hope and some strength tonight so that it will get into you and you'll be able to be armed with this. I want to arm you tonight. I want to give you knowledge. I want to give you words. And I want to give you boldness to deal with these situations. Now, there was two times in my life that I looked back and, man, it could have been a bad deal for me. I could have gotten molested and had this to deal with for the rest of my life. And I want to tell you about it because this was back in the 60s. I was probably about 12, 13 years old. And what happened was my uncle had a boat dock up in the Stockton Delta. And sometimes I'd go up and spend a month or so with him in the summer. I loved it. He rented out fishing boats, and they had a mobile home that was set on pontoons on the river. And we could fish, and I would help him renting the boats out and washing them. And it was neat. Go out and catch catfish and bring them in. He'd show me how to clean them. And he gave me a small boat with a 10-horsepower motor, and he gave me 5 gallons of gas a week. And I could go all around the river and stuff, you know. And I enjoyed it. And so what happened was, across the river, there was a small island in the delta there. And my uncle said, there's a guy that lives there by himself, and he's an older guy, and his name is Mac. We just call him Mac. Okay. So anyway, now look. I'm in the day and time where I've heard of queers or homosexuals or all of this, but this was something like that was weirded out somewhere in San Francisco. You know, and we lived over in the valley in Modesto, and so it was just way out there. And so anyway, one day I took the boat and went over there and having a good time. He had his little house there, lived on this island all by himself. And every once in a while, he'd come across in his boat and drive into the store and get supplies and then come back. And I was out there having a good time. And I was really catching, a lot of the catfish were biting. They would just throw it in. My uncle gave me a bunch of clams in a little bucket, little clams, and we would cut them open. And that's what we'd use for bait. And they would really go after that. And so while I was there, Matt comes over to me. Now think about this. It's just me and this guy on an island. I can't run anywhere right now. My boat's there, but I'd have to leave, get in the boat, and take off. And so he come over to me, and he started bringing out pictures. Now this was in the day that there used to be a camera years ago called a Polaroid. When you take it, the picture came right out and developed right then. It was a great invention for that day. You didn't have to take film in and get it developed. And film, to you, I know, is way out in the past because we've got digital stuff now. But anyway, so he started bringing out these pictures. It was the nastiest pornographic stuff I'd ever seen in my life. I am telling you this to help you young men in life. But so I went across, and I didn't tell my uncle. And you know what? For the rest of the time, I stayed there for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I never went over there and saw him again. And my uncle could tell something had happened. He didn't know why. I never did go over there again. But anyway, I just thanked God that he kept his hand on me. And after a few weeks, I went back home and went on with my life and began to, you know, go through my teenage years. And I think back to that time, and I think, man, if he would have done something to me, would it have wrecked me from being able to dedicate without a lot of condemnation and even obey the call of God? I look at it as I look back, it was Satan. Two times, and I'll tell you the next story, that tried to wreck me. From, you know how complicated it is guys that have been molested. And if you're here tonight, I certainly am not saying this to make you feel bad, because I love you and I'll help you. It's a big deal when you get into these areas on what goes on emotionally. And so anyway, years later, I graduated from high school, went on and started evangelizing, married, and it was years later that one day I was talking to my uncle, visiting with him, and he's up in age now. And I said, Uncle Pete, I said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, okay. I said, you remember Mac that lived across from the boat dock? Yeah. I said, he was a pervert. He said, what? I said, so I began to tell him what he had done to me. He was filled with rage. He said, if I'd have known that, he called me Todd. That was the name he called me. He said, Todd, if I'd have known that, I'd have won over there and killed him. Yeah, I believed it. He would have. And it only confirmed to me when my uncle told me that what I thought when I was in that situation years ago, when I was young, that's what would have happened. And so what I'm saying is to you young men, if you're ever in a situation that something like that is about to happen to you, I pray that you get enough strength. And that's why I wanted to talk to you tonight, to get this into your heart, that you resist it with great energy, because you never know if you would. The way I resisted Mac, it made him back off. He could tell I wasn't just going to go along with whatever he was going. I can only imagine what he wanted to do to me. Man, look, he's over there. We're over there in this island. He could have violated me. Probably with much confidence, I wouldn't have said anything because of fear. And or if I would have said something, he could have said, that's not true. It's his word against my word. But I thank God. I thank the Lord that God helped me at that moment in that weird location in the middle of the river on that island there, that I did, that the Lord helped me and gave me strength. And so I want to say again to you, young men, I want to help you tonight. I want you to listen to what I'm saying tonight and get it deep in your heart, that if you're ever in a situation that something like that happens, it pays to speak up, it pays to be forceful, and don't just get intimidated by fear and just freeze and not do anything. And you need to be bold enough to speak up and even say something later. It may be a relative, it could be a friend in the church, it could be anybody. But we've got to let Satan know that we are not going to be a pushover when it comes to this, and let our young people be violated. Okay, then the next one that took place, and it's amazing how it happens. I'm probably a senior in high school or a junior. I'm at senior youth camp for the district. We're up in Santa Cruz at Beulah Park Campground. And so we're in our room, and two of my friends were there from my home church, and there were three beds in this room. I think it was a double on this side and a double over there, and probably a queen or something in the middle. And so I was there with my friends. One, they both were named Dale. I'm very close to both of them. And so anyway, we're just all, we get there and go to sleep for the night, and ready to get into youth camp the next day. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody knocks on the door and comes in, turns the light on a little bit, and says, hey, how you guys doing? He says, I'm so and so from this particular church, and is it okay if I room with you guys? Yeah, no problem. We're just trusting, and we don't think about a lot of things like that you need to think about today. Come on in. And so anyway, I don't recall where he slept. That maybe with one of the other. Yeah, he slept in the same bed that my friend Dale was sleeping in on my left side. And anyway, as the night went on, I wake up in the middle of the night, and he is on top of me. And he's breathing real heavy in my face. He's got his hands moving around. And I thought, oh my goodness, I threw him off. And I thought, this is bad stuff. This guy's a homosexual. And so for a minute, I didn't know what to do. And I said, nope, that's settled. Get the light on. The light flipped on, and everybody starts waking up. What's going on? What's happening? And I said, I want to tell you, I told him, I called him my name, and I said, you get out of this room. He said, oh, man, I'm sorry. I just was kind of, I went to sleep, and I kind of thrash around. I said, no, I'm not buying that. Out of here. You are not staying here with us. And my friends kind of woke up, and but you know what? My point on saying this is I want you to get strength. I want you to speak up and resist this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? He pled with us, please, let me just spend the night. No, out. You're going out. And we made a big deal of it, and I did. And I wasn't about to let him sleep in our room. And so, you know what? You're, 17 years old, whatever age I was. You want to be liked by everybody. What if I was wrong? But you know what? I wasn't going to buy it. And so finally we made him leave. And I don't know where he spent the night. But after he left, I talked to my friend Dale. I said, the guy's a homosexual. He said, yeah. He said he tried it on me. And he said, I just gave him the doubt that he was thrashing around, you know, like he went to sleep and just throwing my arms around and all that. I said, yeah, he is. I said, and you know what? In the morning, I'm going to go straight to the camp principal and tell him. And it was like, man, you're going to get him in trouble. And man, this is embarrassing. I said, you know what? No. I you know what I think gave me the strength was what happened with Mac when I was younger. And I could, I knew what that could have done to me. And so, anyway, I went to the camp principal the next morning. I felt, I'll be honest with you, there's a part of me that felt bad. You know how it goes in life? The guy did wrong, but I feel like I'm telling. And I felt a little bad about it. But I knew that it was the right thing. And I want to tell you, in life, it's confusing at times. You know what to do. But there's another side of us that feels sorry for people. We have got to feel more conviction about what someone is doing wrong than feeling pitiful for them.
Right.
Or else he's going to do it to someone else. So anyway, I went to the principal and we had a talk. And the principal believed me and had him go home. This is a big deal. So he had to call his pastor and tell him we're sending him home from camp. Now, I don't know what it did to him and what his pastor thought, but the more I think about it in this day and time, they sent somebody home because one camp, myself, made one report. I don't know if we would do it in this day and time because it's a different mindset today. It's give people the doubt and don't be too rough and all of that. Okay, so here's the rest of the story. Okay? I go on and finish graduating from high school and move on with life, ministry, get married and all that. This guy married a pastor's daughter. Had either two or three daughters. I'm thinking, wow, maybe he's okay. I knew it was the right thing to get him out of the room that night, but hey, look, he's doing good. Got a good job. He's in the church somewhere and all that. Okay, the years go by. You know what happens? It comes out that he's a homosexual. Now, him and his wife are not together. His daughters are watching all of this. And I am sorry to say that this man got AIDS and died in a hospital in San Francisco. And I'm not going to mention names because I know it's being recorded, but